Orville and Wilbur Wright invented just one important thing. But since that thing is the airplane, nobody's complaining very much. This December marks the centennial of the Wright brothers' first sustained flight down the beach in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. 1903, when that happened, is not all that long ago. When my grandparents were children, flying was still a total fantasy, as it had been since the days of Icarus or flying carpets. We still dream about flight today, whether it's Superman or the Neo character whizzing around in the Matrix sequels, or the personal jetpacks that, unfortunately, it looks like we're never going to get after all. Today, we'll look at how that desire to fly shows up in our art and music. My guest is Erica Jong, the novelist and poet. 30 years ago, her novel Fear of Flying goosed American sexual mores and shot her to the top of the bestseller lists. She has written 7 novels and many volumes of poetry since then. Erica Jong, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks, Kurt.
Fear of Flying was partly autobiographical, and one aspect that you shared with your protagonist is that you were afraid to fly. Were your fears about flying, literally fears about flying, were they sensibly paranoid about crashing, or was it really a phobia that was beyond the rational?
Well, I think I thought at the time that there was every reason to be afraid of flying. And I really was a white-knuckled flyer. And when I described Isadora's experience in Fear of Flying, I was really describing my own terror of being in a plane. But it's a perfect symbol because it works on so many levels. It works literally. It works as a symbol of freedom. It works as a symbol of sex. And flying is perfect because it's just got all these levels.
I'd love it if you would read the opening of Fear of Flying, in which your heroine, Isadora, is on a 747 on her way to Europe with her then-husband.
Okay. There were 117 psychoanalysts on the Pan Am flight to Vienna, and I'd been treated by at least 6 of them and married a 7th. God knows it was a tribute either to the shrink's ineptitude or my own glorious unanalyzability that I was now, if anything, more scared of flying than when I began my analytic adventures some 13 years earlier. My husband grabbed my hand therapeutically at the moment of takeoff. "Christ, it's like ice," he said. He ought to know the symptoms by now, since he's held my hand on lots of other flights. My fingers and toes turn to ice. My stomach leaps upward into my rib cage. The temperature in the tip of my nose drops to the same level as the temperature in my fingers. My nipples stand up and salute the inside of my bra, or in this case, dress, since I'm not wearing a bra. And for one screaming minute, my heart and the engines correspond as we attempt to prove again that the laws of aerodynamics are not the flimsy superstitions which in my heart of hearts I know they are. Never mind the diabolical information to passengers. I happen to be convinced that only my own concentration and that of my mother, who always seems to expect her children to die in a plane crash, keeps this bird aloft. And so on.
Now, all of the period quality of that great opening of the book, not only erect nipples and bralessness, which are so 1973 as a descriptive aspect, but Pan Am and psychoanalysis for that matter, which seems
exactly
all kind of quaint at this point. Not erect nipples, they still seem not non-quaint, I guess.
But mentioning them. Nobody today would mention them.
I want to get back to the fact which when we thought of you immediately as a guest for this program about flying, I had no idea that you have this experience as a flyer relatively recently. Were you over your 30-year-ago fear of flying when you started learning how to fly an airplane?
I was over it pretty much. I had been schlepped around the world so many times because of that book. And I had gone to so many countries, and actually the book sort of dragged me into giving up my fear of flying because I was really, you know, you get over things when you do them a lot, and that's what had happened to me. However, I was still afraid of and exhilarated by small planes. And when I met somebody who was an amateur pilot, I wasn't going to say to him, I'm not going in your little plane. It was very exciting and even erotic to me to do something that I was so afraid of. So I flew around with Ken in his Cessna 210 during our courtship period. And then he said, you've got to take some flying lessons, which I did. We took glider lessons. We did all kinds of things. I never qualified as a pilot, but it was great to do something I was really afraid of.
It occurs to me that, again, are these age-old dreams and fantasies and stories of flying, as resonant as they still are today, must have changed in quality given that we human beings have been flying for the last 100 years. I mean, do we now think of flying as just this ordinary thing as opposed to this transcendent fantasy that it was before 1900?
I think it still has a frisson, which is why people are afraid of it. I think the dream of flight is still there. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, in my novel Sappho's Leap, there's a moment when the novel sort of switches over to fantasy, and that's the moment when Pegasus flies down over the Amazons with his wings flapping, and you know you're out of the realm of everyday life and into the realm of myth. I think that winged creatures still give us that feeling.
In your book, when the character goes to the land where the Amazons live, and their Pegasuses. their wings are withering. What is the metaphorical import of that?
Well, the Amazons have a world where there are only women, and they've banished all men. But then they have this problem, which is that their great ace in the hole, which has helped them in battle, winged horses, keep being born with vestigial winglets. And that's because there are no male horses around. And so Sappho, through her poetry, brings Pegasus back. And suddenly the mares can produce foals with real wings again.
My guest today is the writer Erica Jong. I'm Kurt Anderson, and we are talking about flying.